our nation and throughout the world. And I suppose this doctrine more than any today, that you can do just about anything and get to heaven as long as you feel that's what you're supposed to be doing. Even if you're an atheist, you can still get to heaven as long as you just do what you think is right. That's the doctrine we fight perhaps more than any today. I want to illustrate this. I do not do this lightly. I want to show you two video clips. The first one is from the leader of the largest church in the world right now. And this church hasn't been around very long. It has grown by leaps and bounds, counted by some to be the largest in all the world. It's called the New Earth. And I want to show you a clip of the leader of this church and the things that the leader says, that there are many ways to get to heaven. There's just not one. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't even have to ever have heard that there is a Jesus. And I want you to notice, as this leader mentions one particular word, it's light. That some may say they're going to the light, or some may say they're going to God. We talked about in our Bible class this morning with the young adults, we talked about Gnosticism. And that's been repackaged, some into denominationalism and some into New Age religion. And so when you hear one saying they're going to the light, you know it's New Age / Gnostic religion. And if you've not got to that yet in the adult class, I think you're a little bit further behind in the book, but you'll get to that soon. And so I want to play this clip, and I don't do so for entertainment or sensationalism or anything such as that. And I put a couple of slides, and I put one at the beginning, one in the middle, and I've got some subtitles there to help you follow what is being said. This is Oprah Winfrey, by the way. Many paths to God. Doesn't matter if you call it God or not.
And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yes.
Now
Marianne Williamson says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is... Anyway, it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about, one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
And
that you don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a human being. And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
her path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess
she's arguing with her audience now. There has to be more than one way.
Do you think that if you are somewhere on the planet, if you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
That is the leader of the largest church in the world. And by the counting of some, I've not gone and counted about it. But I want you to notice the doctrine that's being taught. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't ever have to have even heard about Jesus. There are millions of ways to be a human being, and there are millions of ways to get to God, whatever you call God, whether it's the light or love or God, whatever it is. Now I want to play another clip for you, and this is another leader, and I've played this one before. And this is Billy Graham. And I want you to notice that this is unity and diversity on steroids, which is really what Gnosticism and New Age religion is. And now I want you to notice that this has infiltrated the major denominations of the world. When I was young growing up, I mean, you could ask someone who's this denomination or that denomination, do you have to believe in Jesus to get to heaven? The answer would be absolutely yes. Well, the answer is not yes any longer. The answer is you can be a Muslim, you can be a Buddhist, you can be an atheist. That God is calling people to heaven through many means. And all of these are acceptable. I want you to listen to this.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
Turn to the only light that they have. And if you'll notice, there's only one light. But turn to whatever light that they have. Whatever religion that may be, you can even be an atheist and not even believe in God, deny the existence of God, and you can still be saved. You're still a member of the church, and you go to heaven. That's the world in which we live. And that is the battle that we are fighting. I want to talk about 3 points. First is the solution. The second point is Jesus is the only way. And the third point is I want to talk about this word tolerance, which is used by false teachers to silence Christians and to spread their lies. So let's talk about this first point. The solution is, of course, the Word of God. I want you to look with me in the Word of Life this evening, and I want us to look at some scriptures we're very familiar with as we talk about this tonight. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and beginning in verse 13. Now, many times we talk about verses 16 and 17, but I want you to notice the context of this beginning in verse 13. Paul says, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's exactly what's been going on. That these false teachers are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And in my lifetime, the majority of religion in this country has gone from you have to believe in Jesus to you don't even have to know Jesus. You can even be an atheist and you can still get to heaven by whatever means you feel is right. Indeed, things have gotten worse and worse. Verse 14, though, this is what the Lord says. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now comes verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And as we get over to talk about tolerance, people today say that you're not to teach, you're not to reprove, you're not to correct, you're not to train anybody. To be tolerant, you're to tell people that whatever they do is fine. But that is not the purpose of the Scriptures. The solution to false doctrine and the battles which we must fight is the Scriptures. In chapter 4 now. Beginning in verse 2, the very next verses, verse 1, I solemnly charge you. And brethren, we are solemnly charged not to tolerate the false doctrine and not to let people silence us with the truth. Verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. When it's popular, when it's not popular. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. This is the solution. We have been charged as Christians to do this. This is our job in this nation. in this world. Go with me over to Colossians chapter 2. True wisdom is in Christ Jesus, and we must be grounded in the Scriptures to have this true wisdom and true knowledge. Colossians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 2. By the way, as we studied in the young adults class, and you studied before, and again in the adult class coming up, I imagine, Paul is addressing Gnosticism, New Age religion, especially in this chapter. And he says in chapter 2, verse 2, that your hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. And people with these New Age religions, with this unity and diversity, they say that there are many gods, there are many ways to God. The Gnostics call it the eons. There have been many sent from God to lead people into the pleroma, the fullness of God. Chapter 2, verse 19, Paul talks about that. And that it is just not Christ. That it can be any one of these. Well, Paul tells us it is Jesus Christ. There is no wisdom. There is no understanding. There is no knowledge. You can read all the books that are on Oprah's book and go to her web church all that you want, and you may be smart concerning human wisdom. Paul talked about that at the end of chapter 2, but not concerning spiritual things. Verse 3, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Unless you are a Christian, you cannot truly understand and have spiritual wisdom and have spiritual understanding. You cannot have it because it is hidden in Christ Jesus. And all of these other religious doctrines that are being taught out in the world and all of these lies, that's simply what they are. Foolish lies. In verses 9 through 15, we will not take time to read that right now. But we enter into Christ, we enter into this body and are capable of having this spiritual wisdom and understanding when we're baptized into Jesus Christ. We are buried with Him, we are raised up with Him, we are made alive together with Him. Verses 9 through 15. Well, I want us to look at this chapter a little further, but now I want us to look at what false teachers are trying to do. And I want us to understand that false teachers were doing this in the first century and the second century and the third century, and they are doing it today. And the tricks that they are employing, the deceptions they are employing today, have been employed now for hundreds of years. In Colossians 2 and verse 4, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. And Oprah was presenting a persuasive argument. Are you telling me that someone that lives in some third world country somewhere, who's never heard the name of Jesus Christ, where there are no Bibles, are you telling me that they are lost without any chance of salvation just because there's not a Bible there? There must be more than one way to get to God. That's her persuasive argument. But it's not based on Scripture. So false teachers are trying to deceive us and delude us with their fancy arguments. And notice she's good at quoting people who have written secular books. But she never quotes Scripture. Go down with me to verse 8. See to it. Brethren, we are to see to this. Our shepherds, our elders, their job in shepherding the flock is to see to it that no one takes you captive. In other words, that they do not break in, tie you up, and drag you away into their false religion. See to it that they do not do that. How do they do it? Verse 8, through philosophy and empty deception. And the two quotes that we've seen tonight have been through philosophy. Both of them human reasoning why their doctrines are true, and neither presented Scripture in doing it. It is philosophy. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than to Christ. Then down to verses 16 and 17. False teachers are trying to judge us. What do you mean you don't think that someone can go to heaven if they've never heard about Christ? You've got to be lost. That's ridiculous. No loving God would ever have a system where anyone would be lost just because they never heard about one man who walked upon the face of the earth. That's being judgmental towards us, towards Christians. Verse 16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Not let them judge us for not keeping their religious traditions. And then verse 18. They are trying to defraud us of our prize. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels. By the way, New Age religion is about worshiping angels to a great degree. Taking his stand on visions he has seen. And there's many today in the religious world say, God told me this, or God called me to this, or I saw this, or I saw that. Don't let anybody defraud you of your prize. Don't pay attention to any of that stuff. Verse 18. Inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Oprah does not hold fast to the head. The head is Jesus Christ. And neither does Billy Graham. False teachers are trying to deceive us and to delude us and to defraud us and take away our salvation. They're trying to take us captive, and it's our job not to allow it to be done. What is the solution? Know the Scriptures. Base everything you do on Scripture. Do not accept any philosophy, any reasoning, any teaching that's not clearly based on Scripture, on the truth. The solution to the false doctrines, God's Word, which is the power of God to salvation. Now, Jesus is the only way to the Father. In John chapter 14, as we've already read, I want to point something out to you. I'm asked this question quite often, and by our young folks. It's a good question to ask. You know, are you telling me that somebody lives in some third world country, never been a preacher there, never been a Bible there, no Scripture, never heard of Jesus? Are you telling me they're going to hell? Well, I can just tell you what the Bible says. This is what it says. Jesus said to him, verse 6, we talked about it earlier, Thomas wanting to know the way. He says, I am the way. And I want you to stick the way in your mind for just a second. We're going to talk about that again in about 3 or 4 minutes. I am the way and the truth and the life. Now I want you to notice the word the there. The is a definite article. And it is in the Greek language. It appears in the Greek text. Jesus is saying, I am the way, the only way. There is no other way. Jesus is saying, I am the truth, the only truth. There is no other truth. All these people out there writing all these books that Oprah can quote all day long, that is not the truth. And he says, I am the life. And I believe what Jesus said. That he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And if you're not a Christian, you can't go to the Father. And if you have an argument with anybody, you got it with God. That impresses upon us the importance of knowing what this truth is. And practicing this truth in our life, and knowing this truth to share with other individuals. All other ways lead to destruction. Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many find that. All other ways lead to destruction. And we must choose, are we going to believe Oprah and Billy Graham, or are we going to believe Jesus? Which is it? We have to make that choice. Go over with me to Ephesians chapter 4, another passage you know so well, but please turn your Bibles over there with me, and let's read from the Scriptures together. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. And here the Scriptures make it so plain using one. You know, there's one God, and Paul bases this whole thing off this fact. There's one God and one Father of us all, just one. So because of that, he builds all of this together. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit. Now, these others we've heard about, you know, seen the clips, they say, well, there are many bodies, you know, Buddha, Islam, Christian, atheist, all of these bodies, and they're all good, they're all going to heaven, whatever life they have, that's fine. He didn't quote Scripture for that, you remember that. There is only one. There is only one body, and there is only one spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling. And how are we called? 2 Thessalonians 2:14, through the gospel. There's only one way to be called, and that's through the gospel, not by some New Age eon, and not by some Buddha, and not through Muhammad with Islam. No, those don't. They call you somewhere, but not to heaven. Not to God, but they're calling you somewhere. Not to God or heaven. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Why is that? Because verse 6, there's only one God and Father of us all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So there can only be one faith. That faith whereby we're saved. There is only one. And again, we have to choose. Are we going to believe Oprah? Are we going to believe Billy Graham? Or are we going to believe all these other false teachers out there? Or are we going to believe Jesus Christ, God, the Bible? We have to make that choice. Now go back with me over to go with me over to Acts chapter 24, and I want to talk about Jesus is the way. I want to point something out here. Acts chapter 24. The church is called the way in the Bible. The church is called the way in the Bible. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So his church is called the way. Now, I want you to notice, Billy Graham, he says that Islam is the way, that Buddhism is the way, that atheism is the way, and anything else you want to call out there, it's all the way. But the Lord says the way is the church, and that is it. In Acts chapter 24 and in verse 14, here Paul is, he's speaking. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve God of our fathers. He says, according to the way, now they call it a sect over there. They're wrong about that. They call it, he's referring to, they call it a Jewish sect. They're wrong about that over there, but it is the way. Now what is that saying? That the way is a group, it is an organization. It is a religious organization. They call it a sect, they're wrong about that. Well, what is it? Well, it's the church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. That is the way. I want you to notice something. You have to be a member of the Lord's church to go to the Father. Because Jesus is the way and his church is the way. The one, the only way. There's no other way. Look also at verse 22 of Acts 24. Acts 24, 22. But Felix, having a much more exact knowledge about the way. Well, what did he have? What knowledge about what? Well, it's about the church of Jesus Christ. Now, having listened to Paul, he had more accurate knowledge about that. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and his church is the way, and there's only one church, one faith, one hope, one calling, one Lord, one baptism. There's only one. What is the one? It's the church of Jesus Christ. Now, if you would go with me over to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want us to notice about the people who go other ways. Now, there are a lot of other ways to go. And Oprah, Billy Graham, they talk about a lot of other ways. Their error, their false teaching is that all of these ways go to God and go to heaven. No, they're wrong about that. There's only one that goes to God. There's only one that goes to heaven. These other ways, all these other ways, they are going somewhere. Well, where are they going? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. And Peter is writing about these false teachers, these false religions. And he's so concerned that brethren would fall prey to these teachings and leave the church. And he says, a little bit later in this chapter, it would be better off if you never became a Christian. If you're going to start listening to that stuff and do what they're saying, it'd have been better if you just never became a Christian. I want you to notice in verse 15, 2 Peter 2, verse 15, speaking of these who are the false teachers, verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, never ceasing from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, verse 14, forsaking the right way. They have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam. They're not following the way of Jesus Christ. They're not in the way, the one and only way that leads to the Father. They're in another way. And where does that way lead? Well, it doesn't lead to heaven. If it doesn't lead to heaven, where does it lead? It leads to hell. Notice the end of verse 15. Having loved the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And now drop down to verse 19. Verse 19. What are they doing? Promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. In other words, these false teachers, they're promising freedom. Really what they're doing is they're enslaving people, but they're lying to them. They're saying, I'm going to set you free. You know, you don't have to live the way God lived. You know, you're under grace. You're not under law. You can do whatever you want to. You can follow any religion that you want to. You can have any religious leader that you want to. If you want to, you can even deny the existence of God and be an atheist, and you can still go to heaven. They're promising freedom, but in doing that, they're enslaving people to sin. Notice. Promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. And then verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. In other words, now, having gone the way of these false teachers, the way that they used to be before becoming a Christian is one thing. Now, having gone back in the world, that's worse than what they ever were. Verse 21. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a sow after washing returns to wallow in the mire. And if you can imagine how gross it is that there's a dog eating its own vomit or a sow, a pig, wallowing in the mire, that is the condition of a Christian who believes these false doctrines and turns away from God. It's disgusting. Now I want you to look with me verses 17 through 19 of 2 Peter 2. I want you to look what it says about these false teachers, verse 17. These are springs without water and mist driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. Oh, that's black darkness, punishment. Verse 18. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. They're enslaving themselves, even with their own doctrines. But I want you to notice once again, What does Peter say about these who believe these doctrines? He's already said here in verses 20 through 22 how gross, how vile it is. But also go with me over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. And as Jesus is addressing many of these same things, he's addressing the Gnostics who are following the doctrines of Nicholas. They're called the Nicolaitans. And so Jesus addressing these same things in Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Jesus says, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam." Notice back over in 2 Peter 2:15, it's talking about those who go the way of Balaam. Here they had those who were teaching those doctrines in the church. And he says, you've got some people here that are believing this and going this way. What else does he say there in the middle of verse 14? Who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans, a Gnostic sect. Therefore repent, or what? Notice what? Or I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Jesus is coming to wage warfare against these individuals who are teaching, and these individuals who are going the way of these doctrines. False teachers say there are many ways to heaven. The Bible says there's only one way. We must know God's word and be strengthened by God's word, and not be deceived by false teachers, believing and understanding there is only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And to be going that way, you must be a member of His church. His church is called the way. Well, I want to talk about this thing called tolerance for just a second. Because these false religious leaders are using this word tolerance to teach, to convince people all over the world that you must have a permissive attitude toward everyone and their religion. A permissive attitude. Your attitude must be to give them permission to do what they're doing, to believe what they're doing, and consent that it is as valid as anything else. That's what tolerance is. Let me read to you some definitions. Listen for these words, permissive, liberal, and undogmatic. They're telling us now, this is the way you are supposed to be. Tolerance is fair, objective, and permissive attitude toward those whose opinions, practices, race, religion, nationality, etc., differ from one's own, freedom from bigotry. In other words, if you're not tolerant to have a permissive attitude, you are a bigot. That's what they're trying to convince. Well, they've done a really good job of convincing the world of it. That you're a bigot if you don't go on and say, okay, whatever you think is all right, it's okay. Yeah, you're going to heaven. I agree with that. I give you permission. I've got a permissive attitude. Number two. Tolerance is a fair, objective, and permissive attitude toward opinions and practices that differ from one's own. In other words, anything that's different from what we believe and we practice, we have a permissive attitude toward it. Number three, interest in and concern for ideas, opinions, practices, etc., foreign to one's own, a liberal, undogmatic viewpoint. If you're not liberal, you're not tolerant. If you're not undogmatic, you're not tolerant. And if you're not tolerant, you're a bigot. Now, this is not true. This is a standard definition, and it's taken from Random House. And this is the idea that's been propagated throughout our society, that if you do not have this permissive attitude, liberally minded, undogmatic in your viewpoint, you are a bigot. And it's just not true. Today, people want us to validate and approve of, have a permissive attitude, whatever they do religiously. Today, people never want us to correct them, tell them that they're wrong, or strongly disagree with anything they do religiously. Satan has succeeded. Satan has won maybe the greatest war he ever has to win, and that is to have this attitude, have people convinced that this is the right attitude to have, that everybody's okay no matter what they think, no matter what they believe, and no one ever teaches the truth. Now, as Christians, we don't believe this, and we cannot act this way. And it may be, you know, the politically correct way to act. Well, we can't be politically correct. And if they want to say that we're bigots, but we're not, but if they want to call us bigots and if they want to call us names, they can call us all the names that they want, but it doesn't mean that it's true. As Christians, we cannot tolerate false doctrine, false teachers, and false religions. We cannot be tolerant of that. I want you to look at a few scriptures with me. First of all, go to Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 13. I know what I'm saying. I know you already know this. I'm not telling you anything new. And I know it makes it difficult in our society today. It makes it difficult to do this. And we've had our classes on speaking the right way and speaking the truth in love and speech seasoned with salt and gracious speech and all of that. And all of those things go into this. But brethren, we cannot stand idly by and say nothing. We can't do it. Or we have given victory to the devil. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Brethren, if we have a permissive attitude about everything everybody does, are we going to expose darkness? We are not. We're going to tell everybody you're okay and what you believe is great and you're going to have it. Well, that's great. You're going to heaven. Well, that's wonderful. That's a beautiful thing. That's a permissive attitude. And brethren, we just can't have that. Verse 12, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Our job as Christians is to expose darkness. It is to expose sin. And we cannot have a permissive attitude. We cannot do it. Go with me to another scripture you're so familiar with, and that is Jude. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. And brethren, I'm not saying that it's easy to do. I know that it's hard to do. I know that there are laws and political things, and I understand all of this. And brethren, it is challenging for us. I'm not denying that. But we can't roll over. And let them walk all over us. And to silence us and to silence the truth. It is a hard thing to do, but brethren, we have to work hard to do it. Jude chapter 1 verse 3, beloved, while I am making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. And I want to tell you something, brethren. Christians in the first century did not have it more difficult than us. These doctrines were being concocted at the very beginning. And they did not have it harder than us. Remember the story of Timothy's death. There was a parade going through Ephesus one day. And it was one of those lewd, riotous parades and all sorts of immorality going on. And he publicly rebuked him exactly as he's commanded and charged in the Word of God. They took up clubs and they beat the man to death. We do not have it harder than they do. They did it. We can do it. They paid a price. We're going to pay a price. We have to do it. Go with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. I know we've read that tonight. I know I've referred to it already. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead. Solemnly charged. Brethren, we can't let people silence us. We can't let them make definitions of tolerance to what this is and call us names, and we just be politically correct and let them carry their error and false doctrine to the world to create the largest church in the world in just a matter of months. We have been charged, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now that's not tolerance. That's not tolerance. Let me suggest to you, we cannot be Christians and be tolerant as defined here in Random House. We cannot do that. If we do, we'll be just as lost as all the others. Christians, rather than be tolerant in the way they define tolerance. Now, don't get me wrong. We are taught to be tolerant in the Bible for brethren who are members of the Lord's church, who are trying and working to do the right thing. We are to be unified and we're to be tolerant of one another. But that's not what is being talked about here with Random House. Go with me over to Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Let's see the way that we are supposed to be. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Just jumping in the middle of things here, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous. The word zealous means to be a partisan. We as Christians are to be religious partisans. The word means to be, as a matter of fact, even more than being a partisan, it means to be an uncompromising partisan. To not compromise. To speak the truth, believe the truth, obey the truth, and to not compromise on that one iota. If I can put that into the Random House definition, we are to be intolerant when it comes to false doctrine, false religions, and false teachers. We are to be intolerant. Now, we're still to speak the truth in love. We're still to have our speech seasoned with grace. All these things that we've talked about, and all of these are included, but we cannot compromise the truth of the gospel. And we cannot be silent lambs led away to the slaughter while false teachers ravage the world to build the largest church in the whole world in months. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 3. This will be our final scripture tonight. And I want us to look at what Jesus says to those who are religiously tolerant, those who do have a permissive attitude toward error and false religion, those who are undogmatic, those who are, by Random House definition, tolerant religiously. Jesus says they're lukewarm. And I want us to notice what he says to them. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, to the church of light, Laodicea, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Brethren, we cannot be tolerant as is defined by Random House. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot, I'd rather you be cold, but do anything but be tolerant by the Random House definition. Jesus said, do anything but that. I'd rather you be one way or the other. Now notice what the solution is for that in verse 19. Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous. Remember, the word zealous is an uncompromising partisan. In other words, stop being tolerant by the Random House definition. Stop doing that. Repent and be zealous. Brethren, as Christians, we are uncompromising partisans. We do not have a permissive attitude toward false doctrine, false religion, and false teachers. We are not liberally minded when it comes to those things. And we're not undogmatic. We are very dogmatic. We do so with the right attitude, speaking the right way, with love, speech seasoned with grace, and all of that. But we're not going to allow a bunch of liberal, tolerant, undogmatic people to silence us. We're not going to let that happen. Now, I want to mention this. As Christians out there on the battle line fighting the battle, we are going to be accused of being intolerant, and we are going to be accused of being bigots. But let me suggest to you this argument in that regard. If someone truly believes in tolerance, that they must tolerate whatever religious view one has, our religious view is that we must be zealous. We must be uncompromising partisans. We must speak the truth in love. We must do that. That is our religion. Therefore, you have to tolerate that. Do you get the irony of the whole thing? You know? When we act according to our faith, they're saying, you're being intolerant. Say, no, we're just doing what our faith demands. If you've got a problem with that, you're the one who's intolerant. You see the irony of all that? So my point is, don't let people put the screws on you. Don't let people put pressure on you saying, you're being intolerant, you're being a bigot. No, I'm just doing what my God says to do according to His scriptures. And if you're going to criticize me for that, you're the one who has a problem with intolerance or with tolerance. So you see how that works. As Christians, we cannot tolerate sin, false religion, or false doctrine. People like Oprah and Billy Graham, they use tolerance as a way to push their doctrine, their false doctrine. We can't let these false teachers silence us and keep the truth locked up in the closet somewhere. Keep it from getting out. We must be zealous. We must be uncompromising partisans and not tolerate error. Speaking the truth in love, practicing the truth, and exposing darkness. There is only one way to heaven. And we've been charged by God to tell people about that way and to never compromise. That's the lesson. I hope it's been encouraging for you tonight. I hope it's exhorted you and it encouraged you to fight the good fight. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. If you'd like to get your song books open, number 307. Are you washed in the blood? This has not been a lesson on the first principles on how to be saved or how to go to heaven. But the blood of Jesus Christ is made available for all those who believe in Him and repent of their sins. Confess that He is the Son of God and submit to being immersed in water. The blood of Jesus Christ is applied to their souls and washes away their sins. The Lord then adds them to the church, and they go out on their way, rejoicing as members of the Lord's household. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can be washed with that blood by rendering simple obedience to Jesus Christ. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you've been lukewarm. Maybe you've been tolerating things you ought not to tolerate. Maybe you've been doing things you ought not to do. Well, you can make that right tonight, and you know how to do that. Repenting of these things and confessing them to God, asking for forgiveness, you'll be washed and cleansed once again with that blood. We'd love to pray for you tonight. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come to the front now as we stand and sing.